Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there if you wish. Today, a very special guest, as usual, from EndTheLie.com, Madison Rupert. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Vinnie. It's a pleasure.
You've got an enormous reputation, and I've not actually looked at the website too much, yet I have heard of it many, many, many times. So you must be doing a lot of very important things, Madison.
Really? Well, I hope it's not all bad, as reputations tend to be. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think it'll be the 2-year anniversary this March, I believe. So it's a relatively new website, but I started it up and people seemed to like what I was covering. So it kind of snowballed pretty quickly. And now we have a large Facebook presence as well. And really, it's just been a lot of fun despite covering pretty horrific stuff as per usual.
Well, you know, if you're going to cover the news or anything of importance, mostly it's horrific. Have you noticed how we tend to focus on bad news?
Yes, and I'm quite guilty of that myself, but it seems that the bad news just jumps to my attention much more quickly than the good news. I have been able to write about some good news, thankfully, occasionally, but, you know, unfortunately, the good news turns into bad news relatively quickly. Something that jumps to mind would be Judge Catherine Forrest ruling that the indefinite detention provisions of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2012 were indeed unconstitutional, and Americans couldn't be indefinitely detained without charge or trial. But then, of course, within 24 hours, an appeals court above her came around and overturned that decision. And, of course, that judge was appointed by Obama. But that's just coincidence, of course, right?
Yeah. You're either a conspiracy theorist who believes that powerful people use their power, or you're a coincidence theorist who thinks everything happens by pure coincidence. There's no such thing as a backroom deal. There's no such thing as dishonesty. There's no such thing as scumbaggery.
Yeah, of course, and there's no such thing as the definition of conspiracy, which of course is quite common. Two or more people getting together to engage in criminal activity is surprisingly common, but of course, whenever you talk about it, it instantly becomes theory, even if it's painfully obvious. But, you know, unfortunately, the news is more often than not negative, it seems, at least these days, especially when it comes to court decisions here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. I have this great fear that one day the concept of truth, facts, and evidence will simply go by the wayside in favor of what does everybody think or everybody believe? It's like, oh my God, we're almost already there.
Exactly. I think it's a scary idea, but it's surprisingly common, this whole idea of no absolute truth. There is no real truth. What's true for me might be true for you, but not necessarily. And a closely coupled idea of consensus truth, which is if enough people believe it, then it is true. And unfortunately, that's becoming increasingly common. And it's pretty disturbing, especially because the large number of people are completely unaware of what's going on and have no interest in truth, of course. But, you know, thankfully there are people like you who are out there trying to at least wake those people up, shake them from their slumber, as it were, in a way that's not completely depressing because, unfortunately, this kind of information is quite troubling when you get into it, really.
Well, a correction there. I'm not actually trying to wake anybody up. I don't believe you can. I think people wake themselves up. Like, nobody forced me to sit down and watch 160 documentaries inside of 3 months. Nobody forced me to do anything. I woke myself up. And I think that's the same with everybody else. You know, it takes a lot of information that you have to go of your own volition to go and wake yourself up. And it's other people who simply, you know, they'll be the rock in the pool from the ripples stretch outwards and start to affect everything in a very minute way. And my goal is not to wake people up at all. It's actually to keep those who have already woken up sane. Because it's no good waking up to the New World Order and then having it depress you and make you go crazy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately it seems easier and easier when you just look at the everything that is going on, especially here in the United States. Although, as you said, when you were on my show, it's really no different over there in New Zealand. I mean, you guys are the testing bed, I think you called it, or the testing ground for these types of New World Order, if you will, plots and schemes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, I think I've been wondering recently just how much you need to know, kind of thing, before you make a decision, before you get off your ass, before you do something. You know, there's somebody coming at me. How close does he have to get to you before you either start running away or start thinking about getting in defense mode? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people have to get cut by the guy coming at you with a big knife until they'll believe that the guy's actually a threat to them, at least these days. You know, we've been so conditioned, it seems, at least here in the United States, that, you know, people will put up with almost anything. I mean, you know, here in the U.S., just 6 days ago or so, a federal judge ruled that the Obama administration can claim it is legal to kill Americans while never having to explain why it's legal to kill Americans. This judge actually called it an Alice in Wonderland in nature ruling. I mean, this is in her actual ruling. She called it Alice in Wonderland in nature, or she said the Alice in Wonderland nature of this ruling is not lost on me. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. You want to laugh, but I mean, this is insane. They're literally claiming the authority to kill Americans legally while never having to explain why it's legal. And this kind of stuff, unfortunately, is going on all around the world. It just, since it's not on our front doorstep here in the United States, I think a lot of people are able to push this whole issue. In this case, it was surrounding drones, push this whole issue out of their consciousness and, you know, think, oh, well, it's going on in Pakistan and Yemen and everywhere else, but not here. So who cares, really? But, you know, we're talking about Americans here. In this case, it was an American who had his American citizenship. He was an alleged terrorist, emphasis on alleged, no trial or anything. And of course, his 16-year-old son from Colorado. But, you know, if that, this kind of stuff doesn't force people to examine what is going on in the world with a critical eye, I mean, I really don't know what will at this point.
I remember I was talking to my sister over the holidays, and she tells me that she obeys every single law and will never break them because she doesn't want to be hassled. And I was the minutia of her understanding of what law actually is was kind of baffled me. And I was just thinking to myself, all right, well, I'm sure if you lived in South Africa, you would have abided by the law and let all the blacks be suppressed. I'm sure if you were living in Nazi Germany, you would have helped to suppress the Jews and everything because it was the law. She wouldn't have been like Martin Luther King, on the other hand, saying when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty.
Yes, and I actually had Brandon Turbeville, writer for Activist Post, on my show recently, and he was talking about that fact precisely, that, you know, people say law-abiding citizen so often when talking about a wide variety of subjects, but at some point in time, there has to be people who no longer abide by the law. You know, if free speech becomes a crime, will you continue to take pride in being a so-called law-abiding citizen? But unfortunately, here in the U.S., you don't even need to break any laws to be indefinitely detained. So, you know, being following all the laws just to never worry about being hassled won't protect you at all here in the United States, unfortunately. I don't know where your sister lives, but if she lived here in the U.S., that would be a very misguided view, unfortunately.
Well, I'd believe that misguided view is held by probably the majority of people all over this world. And that's why whenever gun bans happen throughout history, the law-abiding citizens hand in their guns and wind up getting subsequently enslaved or exterminated.
Yes, exactly. And unfortunately, that's an issue that's facing us here in the United States now, is that, you know, in the wake of these shootings, which seem to be so well timed every time they do occur, and they are quite tragic, although some people questioned if they were real events. You know, I'm not quite sure. I think there's a lot of speculation going on, but regardless, what we can see is that politicians use these kinds of incidents to leverage their positions into the public eye, and in some cases force them upon people. And here in the United States, if Senator Feinstein, who unfortunately is my so-called representative, of course she doesn't represent any of my interests whatsoever, she's trying to pass a bill which would actually open the door for confiscation here in the United States. So, you know, unfortunately, that is a very real possibility here in the U.S., as it already has occurred in so many other Western countries. And the exchange between Alex Jones and Piers Morgan was especially hilarious, when Piers Morgan continued to try and bandy about these statistics from the U.K., showing their loss of gun rights to be this wonderful thing that stopped crime and all this stuff. But of course, he was only citing gun-related crime, while other crime is on the rise. And while I think that the interview could have gone better in a lot of ways, it was especially hilarious when Alex Jones asked him why he wasn't still in the UK and why he wasn't facing the hacking charges and why he was fired and all these things. And Piers Morgan just kind of had this blank look on his face. I thought that was pretty hilarious, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard about this this interview this morning. I was on with Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, and they said that it appeared to be crazy and like a an interview that would help to demonize the entirety of the Patriot movements basically worldwide.
Well, it's very true, unfortunately, and while I think Alex Jones did throw out some good information, he did it in a way that most people would not be able to hear. I honestly think that most people who are unfamiliar with this type of material would view the presentation of Alex Jones as little more than a crazy person with a sandwich board saying the end is near, screaming in their face and, you know, screaming bloody murder right in their face. That is really how it came off, almost lunatic fringe-esque. I mean, at some points, you know, Alex Jones was screaming about boxing Piers Morgan in a red, white, and blue outfit and all this stuff. I mean, at some points, it literally made no sense whatsoever.
What color? Well, hold on. What colors are the Union Jack again?
Yeah, exactly. Right, which is hilarious. He didn't say he was like the red, white, and blue, and you can wear that, you know, Union Jack thing or whatever. But of course, they'd be matching. Yes, exactly. They'd be matching, but apparently that was lost on Alex Jones. But it honestly seemed to be a setup, honestly. I mean, it was painful to watch for the most part, where Alex Jones was just screaming over Piers Morgan, and then Piers Morgan brought up 9/11 out of nowhere. And yeah, like I said, there was a lot of things that could have been handled in a much better way to present, you know, the information.
I reckon they should have had John Lott on, the author of More Guns, Less Crime. I have never in my life seen somebody talk with such statistical authority and factual sequential evidence as John Lott. If you see his presentations, the debate over guns is over because you now have facts and evidence instead of opinion.
Yes, and it is a simple fact that statistically more guns equal less crime. But, you know, when we're talking about someone like Piers Morgan and CNN, which I believe he's on CNN, they would never have someone like that on. I mean, the last thing they want is someone who can sit there and calmly refute every single one of Piers Morgan's so-called arguments, most of which are fallacious or factually incorrect or misleading. You know, he would, for instance, say, how many gun-related crimes were there in the UK or in Britain? And it is an extremely low number, but of course you can counter that with saying, well, gun-related crime is actually a very small proportion, especially there, of violent crime.
Hold on, we're coming to break, Madison. We'll be right back. Madison Rupert, endthelie.com.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly leak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly
friendly
control. These hangman rogues.
Welcome back, everybody.
Deadly gangsters, the judges and the police, trick.
Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest is Madison Rupert from endthelie.com. Madison, I was wondering, how old are you, man?
I am just 23 now. 23 as of December the 8th.
5 years, me junior. And you're already really kicking ass. Like, you have a look at endthelie.com on Alexa, and you're right up there with some of the major players in the truth movement. How long have you been doing this?
Well, like I said, I believe I would need to double check, but I believe it'll be the 2-year anniversary coming up in just a few months in March or so, I believe. But, you know, basically I started the site on a whim after seeing a clip by Hillary Clinton speaking before some Senate or congressional committee, in which she basically said that the alternative media is winning. And I saw that is the impetus I needed to actually get out and do something, because I'd been reading and researching and like you said, sitting down and watching documentaries for hours on end and stuff like that. But, you know, I thought, well, you know, I can write remotely well, and you know, I think I can put my thoughts on paper in a or on screen, as it were, but in a logical, consistent manner. So I started doing it, and I got a positive response. So that gave me even more inspiration, and it's kind of spiraled on from there. Unfortunately, you know, I am a full-time student on top of doing this, so there's not nearly as much time as I'd like. You know, I'd love if I could sit down and devote 10 hours straight every single day to just writing and writing and writing, but you know, unfortunately, you know, I can barely cover the server bills at this point. So, but maybe in the future that'll be a realistic possibility if all goes well.
Can people donate to your site?
Yes, they can. And, you know, I appreciate it. I've gotten some random donations before. Actually, when I first started, some guy in Sweden just sent me like $50 or something like that. And back, you know, that was huge to me. But yeah, on every inner page, there's a little floaty bar that's got, links to click on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. And then if you look there at the bottom, there's a little ugly PayPal donate button, and you can click that and donate through there.
See, me personally, I'd survive almost exclusively on donors and subscriptions. And the new business model, I think, in terms of media, is in fact listener and consumer supported, not sponsor supported.
Yeah, I think that is by far the best route to go. I'm trying to figure out some kind of model where I can do that, where I can actually offer something to people for, you know, a monthly subscription, or, you know, some kind of bonus with their donation or something. I'm trying to figure out something, because, you know, a long, long time ago, I was banned from Google Ads, and that basically is the only way you can make a significant amount of money running a website these days. They pretty much have the market cornered several times over. And of course, it doesn't help that I have a page outlining the CIA, NSA connections with Google, and, you know, several dozen articles critical of Google, and an article, you know, going through how to block their tracking and all that kind of stuff. That's not very good for their business model. So I can understand why they would want to ban me completely and bar me from ever opening an account in the future. But, you know, right now the only thing I have are these in-text ad things and these things that like pop up on the side, and it's really quite annoying to me that I need to do that, especially because I would literally make more money standing on the street panhandling. I guarantee you that here in Southern California, you can make a lot of money panhandling if you're clever about your signage. And you know, right now there's an ad on the article about the federal judge ruling that the Obama administration can kill you without explaining why. There's an ad for a transvaginal mesh lawsuit. So this is the kind of stuff I'm forced to advertise, unfortunately, and you have no control over it. So you know, it's probably humorous to some people, although some people are probably very, very confused.
I don't know what transvaginal mesh is, but I want some.
Yes, and you know, you probably want to get one and then sue someone for it or something. Yeah, I didn't know what it was either, and I looked it up, and apparently there are some problems involved. So if you have transvaginal mesh and you need to file a lawsuit, no, I'm kidding.
It's a mesh down there.
Yeah, and they also cover pelvic organ prolapse and other wonderful things, apparently.
Pelvic organ prolapse, is that what they play in the churches these days?
Yes. It sounds more to
Catholic
me like
Catholic ones, at least.
Yeah, it sounds to me like a metal band name right there. Pelvic organ prolapse.
Mm. Or maybe a new agey acid jazz band that you would see in some dark, smoky underground club.
Yes, but then they would have to throw experiment or project on the end of it, and then it would be perfect.
Mm, mm. Like Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm very thankful for you being out there and actually making people laugh while we think about this kind of information, because it can be quite difficult unless you're laughing at the absurdity of it all, which I honestly end up doing quite often, you know. I mean, this whole big deal, here's an example of something that made me laugh recently. This whole huge deal about the fiscal cliff and cutting all these social services and all this, we have no money, the world's going to end. Well, just today I wrote about the government spending, you know, an estimate would be $400 to $500 million on more drones. We now have 37 Global Hawk drones. These drones, you know, that fly for 30 hours at a time. You know, this is the stuff we need. You know, these are the things that they're really debating. How many drones can we get next year? You know, that's what they really care about. It's not any kind of important spending, in my opinion. But, of course, we have no money to spend anyways, but we just keep printing it. It's a wonderful system.
Yeah, I've always wondered about U.S. monetary policy, and it's like, how could they ever have a financial crisis if all they do is just make up more money whenever they have a crisis?
Yeah, exactly. It's a complete joke at this point. I mean, that really is the system, except they don't even need to print money anymore. They literally just add it on a spreadsheet document, essentially. I mean, they don't even need to turn on the printing presses. I mean, it's a wonderful image, Bernanke going, oh, turn on the presses. But that's not necessary when the Federal Reserve is loaning to our government at interest. You know, it's just like, okay, we created this money, now you can spend it and then pay it back to us at interest.
You literally have to imagine it exists.
Yes, precisely. I mean, the whole idea of the modern banking system is really, really mind-blowing when it comes down to it. I mean, if you get a mortgage on your house, you are loaning getting a loan on money that never existed. I mean, you are paying interest on imaginary money, and then they take that imaginary money and then create more imaginary money thanks to fractional reserve banking, and then from that they can create more imaginary money and more imaginary money. It goes on ad infinitum.
I believe that's called a Pierce mortgage.
Yuck. You really do need a band behind you, I'm telling you.
I always thought about some kind of very, I don't know, like some sort of a mariachi, you know, with a big Spanish hat or something like that. Every time I tell a lame joke, it'd be quite regular, you know, just a big strum of the guitar. Ba-ching!
That would be incredible.
I'm sure
you can get them relatively cheap these days, too.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I have been wanting to start writing up a comedy routine because I've always been inspired by Bill Hicks and George Carlin. I'm nowhere near as funny or as insightful as those guys are, admittedly. But gosh dang, it'd be fun to be up on stage just making a few people have a few cackles.
Without a doubt. And Bill Hicks was absolutely incredible. There's a pretty good documentary out there about the censorship of Bill Hicks when he was getting really popular and they wanted to have him on popular late night shows here in the United States. I mean, they'd cancel on him at the last minute because, you know, it's probably the case that these producers are like, oh, I hear about this guy, let's book him. And then someone's like, wait, have you actually seen this guy's material? And then they watch a clip and they're like, no! Freaking out. Strike him from the schedule at the last minute. But I mean, he really did do a phenomenal job of making people incredibly uncomfortable in many cases. I mean, I'm sure you've seen those clips where he's literally just screaming at the crowd, and a lot of people get it and are laughing, and some are genuinely scared and upset and want to leave. I mean, it is just incredible.
I think if you've got extremity in your personality, it's best to let it out, I think. Kind of like if you want to, I'm not sure how to actually put this. If you've got something really, really nasty and angry and full of rage inside of you, it's so much better to just let it out rather than try and contain it, because if you try and contain it, it just sort of eats you from the inside out.
Without a doubt, but I think there, you know, there are certain contexts. Bill Hicks, you know, he had a wonderful platform to do that. He could just scream at people and they'd pay to come back the next night. But, you know, one example where it might not be the best context to just wildly scream at someone would be on the Piers Morgan show when you're talking about something like gun rights. You know, in that context, maybe screaming, you know, over someone isn't necessary. The best route if you're trying to convince anyone of your argument, you know.
Yeah, well, it's ironic how much nationalism can put people off loving their nation.
Yep, it's pretty disturbing these days. You know, it seems like the only thing that gets people together anymore is violence. It seems, you know, it's classic jingoism, really, an overly aggressive foreign policy to kind of cover up all of the horrible things that are going on domestically. You know, a great example would be the alleged killing of Osama bin Laden and the displays of absolute insanity outside the White House after. I'm sure, have you seen those clips where a lot of people, they're asked why they're there? They don't even know. I mean, they literally think that Saddam Hussein was killed in one case. I mean, they have no clue why they're there. They're just waving flags, like, America, yeah! You know, it's sad, but that's that seems to be the state of affairs currently.
Oh, no. See, I don't know about you, but I'm ashamed to be a New Zealander because I think that New Zealanders are so crazy and so dumb and so ignorant. Just imagine how ashamed people are to be American.
Yeah, it is really, really sad. You know, I think that the fact that reality television is the most popular thing right now, and you just turn it on and it literally makes me want to weep. For America, it's like these are the people who people worship, essentially. I mean, they are idols, really. It's sickening. You know, not too long ago, I'm sure you've seen before the segment on Jay Leno. It's probably the only thing I like about Jay Leno, but it's called Jaywalking, and he basically goes around the street and asks people about, you know, basic facts about history, about the United States, about politics, current events, whatever. I mean, stuff even as basic as, you know, what countries border the United States, and people have no clue. I mean, it really is shocking, but they did one with reality TV stars and YouTube stars, and it literally, I was dying laughing, but at the same time, you know, I really wanted to cry because these are famous people. You know, these are people who are looked up to, and they know absolutely nothing. I mean, it is just shocking the amount of ignorance.
But it's it makes a lot of sense, though, doesn't it? Because if the vast majority of the population are so stupid, how did they get that way? Who are their idols? Obviously, people who are even stupider than they are.
Yes, it's very true, actually. And, you know, I think it's telling that those are the people who are famous. They're not famous in many cases for anything other than being drunk idiots. I mean, that is really their claim to fame. You know, I got drunk and fought people and, you know, said really imbecilic things on television. I'm famous. And, you know, they're looked up to by a lot of people, unfortunately. One I think you'd really enjoy, Jay Leno did a Jaywalking the News type thing where he was, you know, having a fake news show. And, you know, he would ask people, you think you can do this better than newscasters? They're like, oh, of course. And then they get up there and, you know, of course, they have absolutely no idea what is going on. I mean, none whatsoever. One woman thought Iran bordered the UK, I believe. I mean, it's really truly shocking what some people actually think. But like you said, it's, you know, it's a function of our culture, really, at this point.
Yeah, it is. You know, I get really sad when I just think about that. And you always get really sad when you think about just how dire the situation is. And it's like, sheep always follow the shepherd. And the problem is, the shepherds that the United States now have are dumber than the sheep that they're leading. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Madison Rupert from endthelie.com is my guest, and we'll be right back after the break.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TVI brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seems. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest today is from EndTheLie.com by the name of Madison Rupert. Without doubt, the smartest 23-year-old I've ever spoken to in my life. I think, in fact, it was exactly the same age as you are now was when I woke up and started going out with a camera and trying to expose scumbaggery myself. And you've come so far in such a short time. You're going to be huge, mate, huge. And here's the thing. Age is no indication of somebody's intelligence or the importance of their thoughts, really. And I was just wondering, where did you gain all of this this wisdom and this ability to talk? Who were your mentors?
That's a very good question, and one which I probably don't have a very satisfying answer for, unfortunately. I kind of draw from a wide variety of sources. I advocate that people do exactly what I did, and that's consume as much information as humanly possible and not take anyone at their word, and instead actually research their claims for themselves. And just doing that is how I accumulated, a great deal of information. All my life, unfortunately, I've been one of those people who just acquires lots of useless facts, but now I'm acquiring useful facts, at least, hopefully. It's really just been a slow buildup. It started quite slow, but when you're writing about this kind of stuff and reading about it every single day for 2+ years, I've been doing the website for 2 years, probably reading about this kind of stuff for at least 2 years before that seriously. It just slowly builds up. I think a lot of people out there probably underestimate their own ability to retain information. It's just, when this kind of stuff gets drilled into your head over and over, it becomes very easy to regurgitate it in a coherent manner. I think the unfortunate thing, though, is in my own experience and in my education, you're not given the critical thinking tools to actually reason through information. We were talking during the break about modern education, especially when it comes to history. They just throw useless facts at you, get you to memorize these useless facts, put them down on a test, usually multiple choice, so you have no room to actually express any kind of original thought. You just, get into these little strategies even of eliminating answers and this whole thing, so you don't even really need to learn the information. But you don't learn anything about what drives history, what is behind these events. You just learn useless little facts. And unfortunately, you know, even in my current studies at the college level, you really have no critical thinking in the classroom. I mean, it's insane to talk about absolute truth. We talked about it at the very beginning in a recent graduate level course I was taking on mass communication theory. I was talking about the absurdity of the idea of no objective truth and no objective reality and these kinds of things, and a lot of people looked as though I was literally sitting there and speaking Mandarin to them. I mean, it was sad, and these are things that I think, you know, everyone should be reasoning through. Do you really believe that there is no absolute truth? Can you really intellectually defend that? And some people, unfortunately, aren't faced with that challenge of actually having their beliefs put to the test. And I think that's something that's very important. Even when you're into this kind of information, you think something's true, but do you really know it is true? Put it to the test. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people get into this kind of research and get in their own little bubble, and they're never challenged by having to explain this type of stuff to people who are outside of this bubble. And that's something that I try to do, and I try to do on my website, is engage people at a level where, even with no understanding of what's going on in the world, you can look at these stories and understand that these are not isolated incidents, and these are not isolated stories. You know, it's kind of a cliche to say everything is connected, and I don't believe everything is connected by any means, but, you know, every story does have something behind it. It is never an isolated event, and unfortunately, the mainstream media, that's exactly the narrative they present. This thing happened, the end. No context. No driving forces behind it. No pointing out the inconsistencies of the story, or how this has happened before, or what the possible results may be. And that's really what I make an effort to do, hopefully I'm doing it at least to a small degree.
Now, you had some Piers Morgan quotes.
Yes, these are absolutely classic. I just saw this. It's Piers Morgan discussing the Alex Jones interview with Dylan Byers of Politico.com. And this is exactly what you were saying, that you were discussing with the host earlier. This is a quote from Piers Morgan. Quote, "He was the best advertisement for gun control you could wish for," unquote, Morgan told Politico. So, I mean, this really is the case. Alex Jones just got up there and convinced people who were probably on the fence that we need gun control because people like him have 50 firearms, and that's probably scary to a lot of people. But there's another one. Quote, "That kind of vitriol, hatred, and zealotry is really quite scary. I didn't feel threatened by him, but I'm concerned that someone like him has that level of influence. There's got to be a level of discourse that can rise above what happened last night. It was undignified, unedifying," unquote. He also called the exchange a, quote, "big, long rant," unquote. And one of the best quotes, I think, is, quote, "Sometimes it's better to let someone have the rope they need to tie themselves in knots," unquote, Morgan told Politico. I mean, that is really I highly recommend you watch the clip. It's not very long at all. He was supposed to be on much longer, but it's clear, you know, why he was booted. I mean, it really wasn't going anywhere. It was just him screaming and then challenging him to a boxing match. It got very bizarre. It really did get very bizarre. You know, I'm not by any means an Alex Jones fan, but, you know, I can see how in some ways he does some important work, a lot of which I think is incredibly misleading, because he'll misrepresent information, lie about sources, all kinds of stuff, which I've personally encountered in my experience with that operation. And it really is an operation. It's a multi-million dollar operation, like any large news organization. But It was beyond crazy. I mean, here's another quote. Quote, he is clearly a smart guy under the craziness. Look, you could tell from the way he ranted that he's not a stupid man, but that makes him more dangerous. There will be lots of people who follow him avidly who are not so intelligent, who believe everything he says, unquote. And I think that brings me back to what I was saying before. You know, even if you're the world's most devoted Alex Jones fan, you need to check out the claims. You need to do it every single time. I mean, really, don't take anyone's word for it. Even if you trust them with your life, it doesn't mean the information they're giving you is untainted, unbiased, and accurate, unfortunately. I wish that wasn't the case, you know, but it just is. I mean, that's reality, unfortunately.
Yeah. Got a couple of words. My three favorite words are I don't know. And two other ones that are really good is possibility and allegedly. Somebody tells you something and you don't know if it's true, then it goes into the realm of possibility. And if you're going to tell somebody about this fact that you've heard of, but don't know if it's true, you can say, allegedly, this is what he said.
Yes, and another favorite of mine is reportedly, because, you know, there's lots of stuff that will be reported, but, I mean, can I fly over to some foreign country and investigate the claims for myself or interview the people? Unfortunately not. You know, I don't have those kinds of resources. So I highly recommend people pay attention to the words that are used, and especially when we're talking about large news organizations like the Associated Press and Reuters, they are very careful, usually, about their copy. And when they're writing about something, when you see reportedly, allegedly, supposedly, these kinds of qualifiers, you should treat it with a great degree of skepticism, in my experience.
In my experience, anything the mainstream media says is to be dealt with a great degree of skepticism.
Yes, that's very true. And in a completely different topic, very quick, I don't know if you've been following, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, which is, you know, people love because it's all these sexy new gadgets and stuff like that.
They had a piece on New Zealand media last night, yeah.
Oh, really? One of the big ones is Panasonic's facial recognition TV. Woohoo! More facial recognition technology. So that's
it's the TV that watches you.
Exactly. That is exactly what it is. It says a New York Times report says the idea is to put all the content in one place so a viewer does not have to search separately for TV shows and video on demand. Each family member can have a personalized screen and will not have to sign in. The higher end Panasonic TVs will have a built-in camera that will use face recognition to determine whose preferences to display. Isn't that just wonderful?
It's just wonderful. We'll be right back after the break.